Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 2nd, 2020, Psalm 23.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. And in preparation to worship our Lord, we give you a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Throughout their history, the Jewish people have received the lion's share of the hatred that exists on this earth. Why? Because what God loves, Satan hates. And Satan is doing everything he can to prevent God from fulfilling his plan for the ages, which includes establishing a prominent place for the Jewish people. Is that for me? Oh, I thought they were trying to get a hold of me in the congregation. Unfortunately, anti-Semitism is spreading like wildfire through today's world, even in the United States and Canada. The Anti-Defamation League, the world's premier organization in monitoring, tracking, and responding to anti-Semitic activity, reported 1,879 acts of anti-Semitism in the United States, with a dramatic increase in physical assaults, including the deadliest attack on Jewish people in American history at a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania synagogue. Well, he hit it exactly on the head. What God loves, Satan hates. And Israel is the apple of God's eye. And the Lord has made four unconditional covenants with Israel: the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. They're unconditional covenants. He will fulfill those covenants to the nation Israel. He has a plan for Israel. Israel is going to be in the millennial kingdom, the the capital of the world in the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, will rule the world from Jerusalem. And all the nations of the earth, all the nations of the earth will be blessed by association with Israel. Anti-Semitism is the worst racism in the entire planet. Hatred of the Jewish people, hatred of the nation Israel, is the worst racism. It is satanic racism, and it's worldwide. And that is way greater than anything else. Nothing else even comes close to the satanic racism and hatred of the Jewish people and the nation Israel. What God loves, Satan hates. Be careful. If you become or thinking in terms of anti-Semitism, then you are hating what God loves. You are hating Israel, and you are totally thinking exactly like Satan, the ruler of this world. It is a horrible, vicious evil, and the worst racism on the planet Earth is anti-Semitism. We are studying Psalm 23. A lot of you thought we'd already be done by now. It's only 6 verses. It's a short psalm. A lot of you have memorized it. First time I ever heard Psalm 23, I was an unbeliever. I was in junior high school in 8th grade. And I don't know, I have a hunch that I didn't ask him, but I think my 8th grade teacher was a Christian. And I don't think any 8th grade teacher today would ask this, but he asked if there was somebody in the classroom who knew the 23rd Psalm. And a girl raised her hand. And he said, would you come up and recite the 23rd Psalm to the class? So here's an 8th grade teacher, John Shaw Junior High School. I mean, this is great. Wouldn't this is be great if this happened today? Won't. She came up. I had never heard. I was an unbeliever. I was a good old Gentile sinner. I didn't go to church. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't study the Bible. I didn't have a personal relationship with God. I hadn't believed in Christ. I didn't even know the gospel. I didn't know anything. But this girl came up and she recited the 23rd Psalm. And I sat there, the first time I'd ever heard it, and I listened to it. It was only 6 verses. And everything in that 23rd Psalm, I go, wow. It kind of stirred up my God consciousness. Stirred up God consciousness and a desire to want to know God. Positive volition to God consciousness. And whenever anyone goes positive at God consciousness, God will get you the gospel. The good news of the gospel, He will get it to you. And give you that opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ. That was my eighth grade, junior high school. Mr. Hilton. And he was a. That was just when new math was coming in. You know, remember new math? I always liked old math myself. 1 + 1 in old math was 2. But Mr. Hilton told us, "I'm teaching you new math now, and in base 2, 1 + 1 is 10." I go, crap. I just thought I had 1 + 1 down, and it was 2, and now he says, well, it depends on what base you have. And of course, this was all because of computers. Computers were coming on the scene, and so they had everything put up in base 2. And I went up to Mr. Hilton, and I was just in consternation. I said, I don't understand all of this. He said, don't worry, Ole. He said, Everybody's learning this. It's, I know, that's why we call it new math. And he saw my consternation. He gave me a ride. He drove me home. And he had a little tiny sports car. One of these you got to practically lay down in to get in. It drove me home. All the way home, he's telling me, now don't worry about the math. Don't worry about the new math. You're gonna get this. That's fine. We're not going to get rid of the old math. That's just... this is something that's important for what's coming up as far as computers go. He was a cool guy. But that stirred up God consciousness, Psalm 23. And I've never taught it, and I've always wanted to teach it, and so we are now. And there is so much here. First of all, the human author is David. And David, the greatest king in Israel's history. And it's the lowest point in his life. His son Absalom, whom he loved dearly, broke his heart. His son, his own son, joined with members of David's cabinet, his government. One of the top men in David's government was Ahithophel. Ahithophel is called in the Bible David's number one advisor, his top advisor. And here is David's top advisor in the government. And every time he would want to get some input, he would go to Ahithophel. And Ahithophel had a lot of help in helping David in making decisions. But Ahithophel, while he would smile to David's face and tell him what a great king he was, Ahithophel hated David. And he wanted to get rid of David as king. He hated David because of Operation Bathsheba. And he wanted to get rid of the king. So when Absalom started this revolution, Ahithophel was all in. He was all in. And joined the revolution, along with many people in David's government, joined the revolution. And David had to flee for his life. He had to flee the palace and flee for his life. There were a few faithful, loyal men who went with him. But a large portion joined the Absalom revolution. And then Ahithophel became Absalom's number one advisor. And he started advising Absalom on what you need to do now so you get the whole nation behind you and recognize that you're now the king and not David. Well, David is out in the high desert south of Jerusalem with a few loyal friends, and he's had to leave everything. Everything behind. Everything except God's word in his heart. He left with God's word in his heart. David is a man after the Lord's own heart. David loves the Lord. David loves Bible doctrine. In fact, David is the human author of most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. He's the author, human author, of Psalm 23. And sitting around the campfire, he wrote this psalm. And they sang it. He and his few of his loyal friends, they sang this night after night as they sat around the campfire, Psalm 23. And David also was a shepherd. He was a very noble shepherd, a very honorable shepherd. And so he understands totally the concept of the shepherd-sheep relationship. And he understands that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is his shepherd. And that he totally understands what that means. Because you see, David knows that sheep are helpless. Sheep are helpless. And in the Bible, Believers are described as sheep. We're sheep. You know why we're called sheep? Because we're helpless. We are helpless. We're totally dependent on the shepherd. And the shepherd is Jesus Christ. Every one of us here tonight, you are totally helpless. And you are totally dependent on the shepherd. The good shepherd who went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. The great shepherd who provides for us and takes care of us as we live in this short time on this earth, and the chief shepherd who will reward us at the judgment seat of Christ. David truly and totally understands the shepherd-sheep relationship. And this is the most helpless time of his entire life. He is totally helpless. He's left everything behind. So he writes in the first verse, "The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and I do not lack for anything." Wow. Here he is, he's left everything behind. And by the way, he's one of the most prosperous kings ever in Israel's history too. He's left everything behind. All he has is what he's wearing, the clothes on his back, that's it. And he says, "The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I'm the sheep, totally helpless, and I cannot and do not lack for anything." Well, that's it for you. This is it for each one of us. This should be our testimony. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and do not lack for anything. This is God's grace. This is God's grace toward the believer. The grace policy of God includes logistical grace, blessing, and support for all believers. God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs of every single believer. God will continue to provide everything necessary to keep you alive in the devil's world and give you an opportunity to advance to spiritual maturity and glorify Him to the maximum. Without logistical grace, no believer can survive in the devil's world. Logistical grace gives every believer equal opportunity to fulfill God's plan and will and purpose for his life. David is emphasizing the grace of God to him in the face of this great disaster, the Absalom revolution. In David's greatest hour of helplessness, he totally understands the sheep-shepherd relationship. He totally understands that the sheep are totally helpless, and that he is a sheep. Every believer is a sheep. Every believer is alive today because of logistical grace. All of you are here this evening by logistical grace. It's God's logistical grace to you, keeping you alive in the middle of the devil's world so you could be here tonight, so that you could feed on the Word of God. Logistical grace is defined as divine planning, divine support, divine provision, divine blessing for the execution of the plan of God and for the fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Logistical grace includes three factors: life support, blessing, and provision. Number one, life support. Logistical grace explains how and why we are alive every moment. X. What does that mean? God and His plan for you, He's given you X amount of days. Every one of us. God has already, in His sovereign decision, assigned X amount of days. You live one day at a time. You're here today. If you're alive tomorrow, he gives you one more day. You live one day at a time. God has assigned X amount of days for each one of us. It's different. It's different. The amount of those days is different for each one of us. But God is infinite wisdom. He's infinitely fair. He's infinitely fair with all of us. And the amount of days he's given to us are perfect for us. And when those X amount of days are up, then we leave this body and we're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Until those X amount of days are up, nothing can remove you from this earth. Nothing. You could be in the front lines of a battle. You could be out there and all alone and thousands of enemy shooting and the bullets flying by and artillery shells, and nothing can harm you or remove you from this earth because your X amount of days are not up. That's why the Christian soldier and a large part of the pivot in America is in the military. They're great. They're honorable. A lot of them are believers in Jesus Christ. A lot of them are mature believers in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if they go into combat and battle, they do their job as unto the Lord. There's absolutely no fear. They know they have X amount of days, and nothing can take them from this life until those X amount of days are up. Their life, they're in league with the stones of the field. What were the stones? Well, the stones of the field in the time that that was written by Job, that was ammunition. They didn't have rifles and 7 millimeter magnums. They didn't have those. They had stones of the field. And he says, you're in league with the stones of the field. You're in league with the ammunition. You're in league with all the bullets flying by. That's a very important thing to understand in law enforcement. And so you do your job as unto the Lord. You have X amount of days. And until those X amount of days are up, you're in league with the stones of the field. You do your job as unto the Lord. There's absolutely no fear. Nothing can remove you from this life. Right now there's a fear going around the world. The stock market is cracked. Everything's going haywire because of the coronavirus. Well, there is a virus, coronavirus, and there are a lot of people that have died. There are six that have died in Seattle. My brother Don lives in Seattle, and he had a medical appointment at a hospital today at 2 o'clock, and it's the exact hospital where the six people that died of coronavirus died. Well, Don always calls me on Monday, and he said, "Well," he says, "I'm going for my colonoscopy today at the hospital where six people have died of the coronavirus." And I said, "Well, don't kiss anybody." I said, "God's given you X amount of days, and nothing's going to remove you from this earth until those X amount of days are up. You know, you have a choice. You can walk around in fear and be afraid of everything and anything, or you can live your life with capacity for life and not be afraid and occupy with Jesus Christ and understand the sovereignty of God and that He has X amount of days for you to live here, and nothing can remove you from this earth until those days are up. Now, turn around. When those X amount of days are up, nothing can keep you here. Nothing can keep you here. All the king's horses, all the king's men, all the doctors, all the procedures, all the vitamins, all of these things, nothing will keep you here. When the X amount of days are up, you're out of here. You get to travel through the valley of the death shadow. And that's coming up in verse 4. You get to travel through the valley of the death shadow. And we all have it. We all have our own valley of the death shadow. And we will all travel through it. the neat thing about it, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. For the believer in Jesus Christ, it's just a shadow. Now it's not a shadow for the unbeliever. It is the deep, darkest darkness. It's horrible. But for every believer, it's just a shadow. And you come out the other side of the valley, you're face to face with Jesus Christ. And guess what? Guess who goes through the valley with you? The shepherd. The shepherd holds you in, you're in his hand. He holds your hand and goes through the valley with you. Now, for the winner believer, he totally understands all that. He loves Jesus Christ. He knows Jesus Christ. And he will enjoy the journey. That journey through the valley, the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, will enjoy it. It will be dessert, chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherries. For the believer who made bad decisions and lived the carnal reversionistic life, well, the valley is still a death shadow, but he'll be miserable all the way through it. Because he doesn't know Jesus Christ. He doesn't love Jesus Christ. He's not occupied with Christ. He has no problem-solving devices. And he will get into fear and misery, and it will be horrible. It's still a death shadow, a valley of the death shadow. But how are you going to go through that valley? Jesus Christ will be holding their hand as well. Is there something else ringing? Was that for me? Oh, okay. Well, I thought somebody's trying to get a hold of me, maybe. I don't know. Just tell them I'm in Bible class and try it on Monday. Well, not Monday, Friday. Usually Monday or Friday. So life support, logistical grace includes life support, blessing, provision. Logistical grace explains how and why we are alive every moment. The only reason we are alive is because of logistical grace. And we don't earn it and we don't deserve it. You are alive only because of the grace of God, not because of anything you do. And there is no work that we can accomplish to keep ourselves alive. Secondly, blessing. Blessing is provided for every church-age believer, both winners and losers. Logistical grace blessing is for all believers. The justice of God sends his life support and blessing to the indwelling righteousness of God in both winners and losers. And this emphasizes once again the grace of God. Winner believers utilize logistical grace. However, loser believers coast on it, but never utilize it. Third, divine provision. And this is divine provision for every believer to execute the plan of God. In the church age, this grace provision includes providing a spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to communicate you the Word of God, God's ordained classroom, the local church, the Word of God, and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. All of this is grace, logistical grace provision to all. If you have consistent positive volition and genuine humility, then you will advance to spiritual maturity and you will glorify God to the maximum. The basis of logistical grace then is the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is infinite virtue. He is infinitely fair. At salvation, the righteousness of God is imputed to the believer by the justice of God, establishing the grace pipeline. So here's the cross. You come to the cross, you place your faith in Jesus Christ. At that instant of faith in Jesus Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. establishing this grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, for all of us in the church age, come 40 salvation blessings. For all of us. Every single one of us received 40 salvation blessings at the moment of faith in Christ. From the justice of God to imputed righteousness in us. And then God sends down to all believers. This goes to all believers because all believers have God's imputed righteousness. And then logistical grace blessing comes to all believers. Every single believer. Why? Because all believers have God's imputed righteousness. So down this pipeline comes God's logistical grace blessings to all, keeping us alive in the middle of the devil's world. So that we can choose for God, have opportunities to choose for God, choose for the Word of God, advance to spiritual maturity, crack the maturity barrier. When you utilize God's logistical grace and advance to spiritual maturity, now comes greater grace. Greater grace blessings for time to those winner believers, greater grace blessings. Logistical grace has blessing, but you must distinguish between logistical grace blessing and greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing is for winner believers only. Logistical grace blessing is for all believers. And there's a lot of difference between greater grace blessings and logistical grace blessings. Greater grace blessings is above and beyond anything you could ask or think. Greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And then dying grace. Dying grace. Now, everybody, all believers have simply a valley of the death shadow. But only the winner believer enjoys the journey. Dying grace blessing. It is better than any greater grace blessing you will ever receive while you're alive on earth. Dying grace blessing for the winner believer is better than the best of the blessings you had while you were living. And the winner believer has the capacity to enjoy it. He's sharing the happiness of God. He's occupied with Jesus Christ. He's being held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows Him. He loves Him. He enjoys Him. And he's going to enjoy the journey. No matter what that valley includes, then the valley will be different for each one of us here. Some of us, the valley will be very short. It'll be a very short valley. For others, it'll be a long valley. But for the winner believer, it doesn't make any difference whether it's long or short. It's dying grace. It's a journey. And he enjoys it all the way. He eats that chocolate pie all the way till he gets on the other side. You see, this is the basis of logistical grace. God is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair. At salvation, the righteousness of God is imputed to the believer by the justice of God, establishing the grace pipeline. And the righteousness of God demands logistical grace blessing from the justice of God. Whether we fail or succeed as Christians, logistical grace blessing comes to all believers. And this is why God provides logistical grace to both winners and losers. Christians who fail to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills still have the imputed righteousness of God. And this means God will support and sustain you regardless of how deserving or undeserving you are. There are three results from the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer. First of all, justification. God looks at His righteousness imputed to us and declares us to be righteous, plus R, and we receive instant justification by faith in Jesus Christ. God's love changes from impersonal love to personal love. toward His imputed righteousness in us. God now loves us with infinite personal love because we have His righteousness. And we receive logistical grace. Logistical grace, blessing, support, and provision. In just a moment. That's pretty good. Green tea. No, there was no vodka in there, just green tea. The indwelling righteousness of God is the recipient of all life support and all blessing from God. Down the grace pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness in us. God has found a way to administer logistical grace blessing to every single believer. The principle of logistical grace demands that the justice of God provide life support and blessing to the indwelling righteousness of God. And therefore, the grace pipeline is established between the two attributes of divine holiness, the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of God on the other end. Turn over to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Great chapter. I'm now in chapter 2. I'm working hot and heavy in Romans chapter 2 for Sunday morning, and not for this Sunday, but a few Sundays down the road. Romans 2 gets better. Romans 3 gets better than that, and it just keeps getting better and better. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one, that's important, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, in God's sight, by observing the law. That is, by works, by good works. Now listen to what this is very important. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law, by good works. Good works result in self-righteousness on your part. But you're not righteous in God's sight. No one is righteous in God's sight by good works. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God. You see, the righteousness that we must have, plus our, can't be from us. It has to come from God. From God to us. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, apart from our works, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's only one way to receive this righteousness from God. Only one way. Not by your works, not by being good, not by doing good things, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness from God comes to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have this righteousness from God. You have no grace pipeline. You have no salvation. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. One of the great passages on logistical grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you can see there's a lot of red letters here. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. Red letters all through here. Jesus Christ is teaching logistical grace. So in Matthew 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying about your life. What you will eat or drink. Or about your body. What you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes?" Now I have said this. I've been here 43 years. I have said, when I first came, I told people, you could come in a barrel. I said that several times. Fortunately, nobody came in a barrel, but I kept saying, you can come in a barrel. It's not an issue. Your clothes are not an issue. And then we've been going to the basketball tournaments for a few years. And Wyoming is in our Mountain West tournament. They're in the conference. And there's always the guy from Wyoming who comes in a barrel. He has a cowboy hat and he comes in a barrel. So after I've seen somebody in a barrel, don't come to church in a barrel. From what I understand, it's the same. It works the same as a kilt. So no peeky. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to your height? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little doctrine. He says, O you of little faith. O you of little doctrine. So stop worrying. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the heathen run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. How do you receive his righteousness? One way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Seek his righteousness, faith in Jesus Christ. And all these things, which is logistical grace blessing, this is all logistical grace blessing. And all these things will be given to you as well. Why? Because the grace pipeline's been established. You now have the righteousness of God imputed to you. The grace pipeline. And now, down that grace pipeline comes logistical grace blessing and support. All these logistical grace blessings will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Logistical grace. Every single believer has God's imputed righteousness. Every single believer receives logistical grace blessing every day. Day after day after day after day, blessing comes because you have God's imputed righteousness. Food comes. David says, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. And here he is. He's been driven out of the palace by his own son and the Absalom revolution. He left everything behind. But they're sitting around the campfire and they're eating. Evidently, they had a successful day. They killed a couple rattlesnakes. Roasted some snake, had some snake meat. God provided logistical grace. So, one, turn over, we're going to look at some testimonies in the Word of God about logistical grace. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33:27. I love this. This verse I always incorporate it in my prayers when prayers for all my family. They're all believers. All my brothers and sisters are believers. Relatives, so on. And I know they're all under logistical grace, and they travel. They're traveling all over. They travel hither and yon. And so I always include this in my prayers for them, the logistical grace prayer. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is a refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I just absolutely love that. Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's logistical grace. And we're living in it. This really applies in a unique way today. Back in the time this was written by Moses, nobody got on an airliner and flew. But now that's about the only way people travel. And every time I get on an airliner and fly, first thing when I get on, I just thank God. Thank you, sir, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Logistical grace. Two, a biblical definition of logistical grace. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all sufficiency, you will abound in every good work. Now, the context of this is a passage of Paul's teaching on defining grace giving. So this logistical grace biblical definition is given in a passage on grace giving. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all sufficiency, you will abound in every good work. Grace giving. So, one, if your mental attitude is right, God will provide for you to give in grace. Grace giving. And that is the only giving in the plan of God for you in the church age is grace giving. Not tithing. Tithing was never, ever a system of giving. So if you're caught up in tithing, you know, give 10%, and then you got the people, do I give 10% before taxes or 10% after taxes? Well, forget about it. Forget about 10% or 20% or 30%, because it was taxation. Tithing was taxation. And it was for the whole nation Israel, for unbelievers as well as believers. It was never, ever a system of giving. It was taxation. Now, When the liberals are in power, you're taxed out of your tree. You're already paying way more. In fact, if you really want to get biblical about taxation, then let's go look at the tithe. The tithe was 10%, and everybody had to tithe. Everybody. The billionaires and the ones who didn't make anything. Everybody paid the same, 10%. That's the only fair thing. We don't do it the fair way. It should be the same for everybody. Just 10% straight across the board, that's it. There you go. That's the Old Testament way. But when you get this liberal socialist mentality of punishing people because they've made money and they're wealthy, so let's steal it from them and give it to the lazy scum, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's nothing but robbery. That's stealing. The government stealing from people. And so if you're wealthy and you're a hard worker, you made your millions, then the government says, no, we're going to take that from you and give it to the people who don't want to work at all, looking for a handout. That's evil. That is evil, evil, evil. And just, if you want to listen, just listen to the socialists getting ready for this next election. Listen to them. Any one of those idiots get into power? You ain't seen nothing yet as far as taxes go. You will be taxed out of existence. Because there's no way, there's no way, there's no way they can do what they say they're going to do without taxing the living hell out of everyone. But you see, everybody likes to be given something for nothing. You know, I don't want to work, and I want Uncle Sugar to take care of me. That's tithing. Tithing has never been giving. It was always taxation to every Jew in Israel. They all had to tithe. Some years 10%, some 20%, some 30%. Some years 30%. But it was the same for everybody. So, in the context of 2 Corinthians 9:8, the context of the verse is grace giving. If your mental attitude is right, point one, God will provide for you to give. Two, in fact, we are really God's stewards with the money that He gives to us. You see, everything you have and all that you are is because of who and what God is. So we are really God's stewards with the money that He gives to us. How is God able to make all grace abound in giving us things? Logistical grace. Logistical grace we have is imputed righteousness. Note that this sufficiency is not qualified by occurring only in times of prosperity. No, you might be in times of destitution. The churches in Macedonia were poor, and yet they gave in grace giving above and beyond, and provided in a very phenomenal and fantastic way. So this sufficiency is not qualified by occurring only in times of prosperity. Three, you have a sufficiency in all circumstances, including times of historical disaster. You have a sufficiency in all circumstances, including times of historical disaster. There is no historical situation or circumstance to which this principle does not apply. Three, David gives the testimony of old age and logistical grace. David gives the testimony of old age and logistical grace. Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. So David gives the testimony of old age and logistical grace. Psalm 37, 25. Psalm 37, 25. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. This is the testimony of logistical grace. David says, I was young. I commiserate with David. I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. All right, logistical grace. And how does this, how can God do this? Because He imputes His righteousness to us. The righteousness of God is in us. The justice of God on the other end of the pipeline. So here's this grace pipeline. You can just go like this. Come on down. Come on down. It's logistical grace. And it comes down day after day after day after day. Logistical grace. And God gives it to all believers because every believer has his imputed righteousness. Logistical grace blessing to keep you alive in the devil's world so that you have a chance to make decisions for God and His Word and advance to spiritual maturity. To travel what Psalm 23 verse 3 says, travel the paths of righteousness from plethora of salvation to grace righteousness to spiritual maturity. To travel that path. Keeps you alive so you can make good decisions to travel the paths of righteousness. Reach spiritual maturity. And then you crack the maturity barrier. Now comes greater grace blessings down the grace pipeline. For time, for eternity, and then dying grace. Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.